Adam Morrison here. When it comes to top-tier contracting, my go-to choice is McGilvery Environmental. They're not just any contractor, they're the best in Spokane and North Idaho. With years of experience, they handle it all. New construction, meticulous repairs, and asphalt overlays. From start to finish, they ensure your project is completed with the highest quality end results. And here's the scoop for this year. McGilvery Environmental has expanded its services to include asphalt paving. That means top-notch commercial parking lots, residential driveways, and road construction. So, ready to kickstart your project? Reach out to Kip at McGilvery Environmental by calling 208-556-6384 for your free estimate. Don't forget to mention my name, Adam from the Perimeter, and experience the difference that McGilvery Environmental brings to the table. Again, that's 208-556-6384, McGilvery Environmental. My number one choice for all my contracting needs.
HDG Architecture is proud to be a sponsor of The Perimeter with Adam Morrison. There is another podcast that you all should be listening to, and it's called If Not Now, When? This podcast, which Josh Hsiang of HDG Architecture hosts, has a clear mission to ignite positive change within the Spokane community. On the podcast, Josh brings together diverse individuals from city officials, business owners, journalists, influencers, and big thinkers to have meaningful conversations about what we can do to help transform downtown Spokane into an even more vibrant and robust community. By talking to these movers and shakers, the podcast aims to inspire and empower its listeners by actively shaping their city's future. You can find the If Not Now, When podcast wherever you are listening to The Perimeter at, or you can find it in the description of this episode.
Welcome to Season 3, Episode 11 of The Perimeter, sponsored by McGilvery Environmental. Again, it's another weird deal to be talking about another loss here, bud.
I was going to say, like, this is the third episode in a row we're talking about a loss.
Yeah.
So it's... Yeah. We're not used to this.
Yeah, especially a home loss. Yeah. It's the second time... in the last 2 years, we had what that 80 some game win streak or whatever it was last year, and LMU got us, which made sense. We were due, but we're not used to losing non conference games.
No,
obviously, San Diego State's a very good team. They were in the 20s on the net, before the game, just outside the top 25. So we knew it was a good game. They were 8-2 coming in, very good defensively. But it was just a struggle for us from. Pretty much the 30 minutes, you know, the last half of the first half was kind of ugly,
yeah.
Obviously. You know, obviously every time we do these episodes, we recap the games, then we preview what's going to happen next coming up on the schedule. But there's some major issues for this club that we've talked about and we've hinted at, but we've been fair based on sample size, but now it's about halfway through the season. So it's fair to kind of look at the totality and all the numbers and what they mean and what personnel decisions could maybe happen or schematic decisions could happen. But, you know, it's not the sky is falling, but it's getting close. I mean, it's 9-4. It's not terrible. We're ranked 24th. What's the record? What was like 120 some weeks or something like that? Been in the top 25,
something like that. I like the stat I got was that we the last time Gonzaga wasn't ranked in the AP poll was April 2016.
Okay, so 150 something or whatever.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah, 16 weeks or 24 weeks of a season or whatever. Like that. So that's a long time, obviously.
That is. Yeah.
And we're gonna skirt with that for the rest of the year because we don't have any major games coming up as far as, you know, quad one opportunities.
I think Kentucky is the only one, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously we'll get, that's the the February one, but as far as conference, St. Mary's is playing better, but they started off 3-5, I think, and had some bad home losses, which obviously hurts us. And then with BYU exiting this year, that takes another game away. But, you know, getting back to the game the other night, I like their energy to start the game. Looking at their roster, you know, they were super talented offensively, but they were that typical kind of really physical bigs, look really strong, a little bit undersized height-wise, but like 240, like look like tight ends type of kids.
Yeah.
You know, and those have given us problems in the last 2-3 years, let's be fair. So it was a nervous, undertaking to start. And I knew how good defensively they were. Kind of like UConn, obviously didn't have the size on the backside like UConn with Klingon, but had physical guards, had guys that can, you know, switch multiple actions. So whenever you run your wave actions and your dribble handoffs, you really can't get any switches or anything like that, or anything that's thrusting downhill. So, you know, not saying I was like, oh, we're going to lose, but I was like, man, this could be a tough one tonight. Obviously being at home helps. It didn't help that we were no students.
I was going to ask you.
I know.
The game before that was a
Jackson State.
And it was like, there's points in that game you could hear a needle drop in that place. And it was kind of depressing.
It's you feel bad because there's so many people that want to get to go to games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not a knock on the university. It's just the size. And when they first built the place, it was 2000 or whatever, and they started building it, or 2001, like 6,000 was perfect.
Right.
And that's the right number. Like, smaller is better. I think even in professional sports, like, in, you know, like MLS and stuff, they're starting to realize, like, build a smaller arena. We want atmosphere more than just seats. But then, you know, people complain, like, can't get to a game, and then they finally get to go, and they don't really go crazy.
Right. I think that, I mean, you made this point before. Like, I think Gonzaga needs to have, like between action, like, PA announcer that's like hyping up the crowd.
Yeah, there needs to be a MC.
Yeah,
I've said that for a couple of years, but it falls on deaf ears.
Right.
You know, I think that part could help. Easier said than done. That's easy for me to money quarterback a thing like that. But you're right. It was just one of those games where I bet you if San Diego was like, yeah, we'll do a home and home, we'll play in December. You know what I mean? at home. So that part was a little bit frustrating. The crowd wasn't terrible. It got loud at times in there. But with the students, it would have been on a different decibel. So, you know, to start the game, you know, my keys when I was doing my broadcast.
The Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hi, we're the Greens. Our family is just like any other family.
Quiet on set!
Okay, maybe not. But just like every family, we need banking solutions that work for the way we live. And ICCU has everything we need. We're looking forward to showing you how it works for us. Excuse me.
It would have been on a different decibel. So, you know, to start the game, you know, my keys when I was doing my broadcast was Graham EK's got to have a good game. He's got to play better. You know, we got to have an inside presence. You got to do better against the double team. He was exactly that the other night. I mean, he was fantastic. He was the only one that really had a solid game. Obviously, Anton played good as well, but he's kind of he's going to have a good game every single time type of kid this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just, he's so experienced. And then his game is, like I've explained and everybody kind of understands, is loose ball stuff, you know, just he fills the stat sheet. He's going to do that every night. Yeah. He's not going to blow you away. He did it against UCLA, but that's kind of what he is. So, like, when he has a good game, I kind of expect it, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Right? But Graham needed to have a good game. He needed to get lower post touches in the block. 20 and 10, obviously 8 of 13, played really good. Didn't take a three-pointer, which I'm kind of happy about, and that's not a knock, but I don't think he needs to be shooting a lot of threes. 4-6 from the free throw line. Had 3 turnovers, 0 assists, 2 steals, but very efficient. He was the only one plus minus. So, you know, started the game. He was the one going against their Ladie was their good inside presence. So I thought that he needed to neutralize him at least numbers wise. And he did exactly that. Ladie was averaging 21, had 20, was 5 of 12. So I thought Graham did his job as far as an inside presence. You know, to you know, eliminate their best player, basically. So I was happy to see that, because as the season progresses, he needs to be kind of a scoring leader for us, in my opinion, or at least getting 15, 16 a night at least, just to stabilize some of the outside perimeter shooting woes that I'll continue to talk about.
Right.
I'm tired of talking about them, but it's kind of our Achilles heel this year. You got to have consistent scoring if you can't rely on perimeter shooting. And that's not even like a crazy, insane take or like really deep. Right. You know, anybody could come up with that. But it's just really, really puzzling now that we can't turn the corner shooting wise. 5-19 from three, 26%. I think we're the lower 30s as a crew this year. Last time I looked, it was 32. So that's obviously lower. So we're probably mm-hmm. like 30, 31, maybe 29. And I've said it multiple times. I think I've said it on the podcast as well. We have to get to good. We won't be elite, but we're not even at good yet.
Right.
We have to get to good. And that's been one of our issues. And I know it sounds funny. It's like, you know, it can't just be shooting. Well, a lot of it is. I mean, there's stretches in these games where we just, we go on, you know, where we just don't make a field goal. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and mm-hmm. it's like we had the 3:13 left in the first. Okay. So recap, obviously, we were up six, right? Mm-hmm. Media timeout. And mm-hmm. I said it on the air. I was like, okay, we, you know, this is really important that we finish the half on a good run and we go one for eight in that last stretch. And then they go on an 8-0 run or plus eight and go up one mm-hmm. or up two at halftime. Right. So yeah. it just absolutely kills us. Mm-hmm. And we have so many of those throughout the season. Like the problem is too, is we don't have, I shouldn't say we don't have, we haven't shown, that's the better way to say it. Because I think this group is talented enough to do it, to score 8-0, 10-0 runs quickly like we have in the past. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
if you think
sure.
about the last 5 years and the last two, three years of teams, we used to, you know, all right, here comes a 10-0 run, and it's a four-point game now. We're up 14 game over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or we're down six early.
Uh-huh.
There's no anxiety because we're going to go, you know, we're going to score two threes in a row and get an and one, and we're up nine, or we're up three now. You know what I'm saying? Like 9-0 run real quick and mm-hmm. crowds into it. And we just haven't shown that year. And, like, that's why I rephrase what I was saying. Like, I think the talent's there. Obviously, they're Division I basketball players. They're playing at Gonzaga. It's, yeah. You know, a top 10 program for 15, 20 years, but they just haven't shown it yet. It's wild to watch, and it's wild to see it's consistently not great shooting.
And yeah, we just don't have that spark this year. Like, Julian was always the spark last year. I mean, obviously, Drew Timmy was awesome, could get us on those runs as well. But, like, I feel like we kind of pushed, we try to get that spark from like Nimhard and yeah. Hickman, and like they just never fall. You just never, when we want to go on that run, it just never feels like it's, I don't feel confident that it's going to be there.
Yeah. It just, so. We were just not being able to show. I mean, let's look at the 3-point shooting percentage. Obviously, Anton goes 1-for-1. That's what you figure from him. You're going to get one field goal, mm-hmm. maybe two a game, but that's exactly where he needs to be. Mm-hmm. Nimhard 0-for-5.
Yeah.
Dusty 1-for-2, only played 20 minutes, got a technical early, got sad. It was a weird situation in the first half. That Bird kid, or I think it was the same, that Bird kid squared up to Anton. And Dusty went over and like pushed him, and they gave him a weird technical. I thought it was a bad one.
Yeah.
And then didn't play the rest of the game. So Fuey does that sometimes. That happened to me my freshman year at Washington. I got a technical and didn't play the rest of the game. So I saw Dusty after the game. He was like, what'd you say? He's like, nothing. He's like, and I was like, yeah, it happened to me. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, just move on. Like, Fuey just was like, screw it, I'm done. I'm not playing him tonight. You know? And so, anyway.
Yeah.
He goes 1-for-2. And then Nolan goes 2-for-4. Was obviously good. And then Ben Gregg, our best three-point shooters, 1-for-5. And then Braden Huff, who's been fantastic this season in small minutes, only gets, 2 points and is 0-for-2. So it's just the inability to make three-point shots, man. And I know we've talked about it, and I'm tired of talking about it like on air. Like, it's annoying because you feel like you're picking on kids then, you know, they're mm-hmm. amateurs and they're good players, but it has to be brought up and has to be pointed out because the sample size is so big.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't, like you said, like there's no spark sometimes. There's no ability, like, all right, I'm going to come down and, you know, high ball screen action, talk about our guards, they go under, I'm going to make this one if he goes under, and, you know, make a big three or anything like that.
Yeah.
It just hasn't come to fruition this year. It's tough to watch, too, because you could see the want to do it, and mm-hmm. it's just not dropping. And it's one of those things, like, what do you do schematically? Like, you know, there's always idiots on the internet and stuff. It was, you know, we're not running the right offense. Like, we've been running the same offense for a decade now.
Right.
Right. I mean, at some point, like, guys got to step up and make shots. And I think they're good enough players. It's not a talent issue. I think it's maybe a confidence issue or just a block. But at some point, guys have to make shots. And that's not even like me, you know, I'm not trying to be an asshole about it, but it's just like, fuck, man, you got to make a jumper.
Well, if we're talking about how much they're missing threes at in the second half, I mean, they're talking about it too. So it has to be in their back of their head. And like, I mean, Ben Gregg going, you know, one for five, like, I would think he could be the spark off the bench to hit some threes. And he was also kind of forcing it too.
He's getting scouted now in that in that department. Obviously, you're going to scout everybody, but it's like, it's one of those, you know, all the hoopers that are listening. Shooter, when you check in, you know what I mean? Like, you played AU, like, you checked in a guy, shooter, you know what I mean? Like, you let everybody know. That's what he's getting now. And it's deserved. But now people are closing out, making him put it on the deck or not helping on his pick and pop action off the screen rolls. Like, okay, guard, you have to get over it. Big, don't help, because they're just looking for the pop. They're not looking for the turn the corner with the guard. So that's some of the reasoning he didn't shoot it as well, but he's not getting as clean as looks. And then we're just having some issues defensively, man. I got to be completely honest, like, mental issues, not being able to switch. And I've talked about it the last two seasons. I talk about it on my broadcast all the time. Like, the super elite teams that could switch all actions at the pro level and the college level are so much better defensively. And people, the average fan, I guess, doesn't really notice it until you don't have it. You know, it's that old, you don't realize what you have until you don't have it, or whatever, until it's gone. Rolling Stones, whatever they said. Is with Graham and, like, Braden. And Graham's had a fantastic season, but probably his strong, and not his strong suit, is defensively in the pick and roll action, right? That's pretty common, and it's pretty common knowledge.
Right.
Teams are exploiting that stuff now. And then, like, they're doing pick-to-pick action, you know, inside, and they got a couple layups off that, you know, or we're going one man removed on situations. In years past, we just switched all those. And then it doesn't – all those actions don't matter. So that part is something that is a fair – not criticism, but just a fair point out of what – some of the issues defensively could be is one through four, we can switch, but we can't switch one through five. And that makes a big difference. Now, the counter to be like, well, you know, UConn can't do that with a big kid, or Purdue can't do that. And that's very true. But those guys on the backside are 7'4" and they're changing shots. And then you can downhill switch, or you can funnel everything to your big. That's a big, that's a way different we can't switch strategy, right? That's like, well, okay, we'll ice everything on the side and then funnel it to your big to block shots, or at least alter, and then you play off of that. So that part has been really kind of disappointing for me, because a lot of it's mental errors too. You know, they ran that pick-to-pick action for their big, and it ended up going off his hand to start the second half. But, like, it was going to be a wide open layup. And it's like, we can't have those type of, especially when they go on a run and they're up to start the half. We just have too many of those situations this year. And I think it's not a scouting thing. I know that. And that's not even me, like, just cause I played for Coach Few, but, like, I go to their scouting deal, you know, I go to their shoot arounds every once in a while. And then I obviously go to on the road games, I go to their team meals and their pregame scout. Like, the scouts are pretty heavy for a college. They're on par with an NBA scout. They really are. They tell you what, you know, guy going left scores at 28% of the time, whatever. You know what I mean? That's what they're analytic driven. So it's not that. I think it's mental errors, mental lapses. I think another criticism, and we've talked about this, with Luka going down, it hurts your opportunity to give Nembhard and Hickman some opportunity to rest. I mean, Nembhard plays 40 minutes again the other night, 5 of 14, 0 of 5. He has 15, he has 9 assists. So, I mean, he's looked good in that department, but 5 of 14 is not good. And he's shooting like 42% or something like that from the field. So he's been fine as far as a floor game point guard, but I guarantee he wants to have his percentages up.
Totally.
And that could be a fatigue thing. I don't know that for sure, but that's a fair criticism. Be like, well, he's playing 38 to 40 minutes a night, and you know, when you have to play defense on the other end, it can be taxing on your body. The easy counter to that, though, and I've said this a million times, like, dude, there's like four TV timeouts a half, you know? Yeah. So I get it. Cause I played my junior year, probably my sophomore year, I played at least 33. And then my junior year, I played like 38. So it's like, dude, you're not that tired, or like, I don't know.
It can't be. I mean, it probably can't be a tired thing. The silver lining with, I feel like with Ryan is that like when he was at Creighton, he was shooting, he shot 35% last year from the three.
From three. And he's like at 19 now this year.
He's
right?
He's at 15%.
15%.
So like, yeah, it's there. And his attempts are even down almost a shot per game like from last year. So like.
Well, then that brings in just another, you know, a quick topic we can cover is it a pressure thing maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because his brother played here and his brother's in the NBA and it's, it looks like he's going to have like a 10-year career as a backup point guard. Like very good. I mean that in a good way. Like, he'll be on a team every single year as a really good backup point guard. Maybe a guy that could start games for you. You know what I mean? And then his brother follows him here and it's like, oh, Nemhard, you're supposed to be really good. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
for sure.
That's a fair wonder. I don't know. And I think Ryan's a very good player. He's not had a bad year, but he hasn't shot it as good as he should. And that's a fair criticism. He'd probably say the same thing out loud. You know, again, we don't want to sit here and hammer guys. They are amateurs, and I don't feel comfortable doing that type of thing. But also, you know, if you're listening to this and on my broadcast, like we have to be unbiased as possible and tell you, you know, what I think and what I'm seeing, especially with the sample size, you know, not early. It was a weird loss because it was a non-conference. We don't lose very many non-conference. It was our last 10-point-plus loss since 2012 was the last one we had. It was crazy.
That is crazy.
At home.
Oh, at home.
At home.
Oh, at home. Okay.
It's still crazy, though, if you think about it. It's over 10 years, 11 years or whatever. And then I mentioned the two home losses in the last 2 years. I mean, we had that 80-something or whatever and then finally got beat last year. But, yeah, it's like... you know, maybe it's just not the iron fortress that we thought it was, right? But
well, not when it's how quiet it is. I mean, I think there is I feel like the crowd brings an element to the kennel. Like that's always been a thing.
Yeah, it's true.
And I don't know like what the point differential would be if like you had like a really loud crowd there getting into the other team.
The students do help. You know, this is another discussion, but that we've talked about like. If you serve beers, it probably changes the tenor of the crowd, too.
Totally.
But whatever. I'm not even going to get into that. It doesn't even matter. But, you know, it's just been one of those years that we're not, obviously not terrible. We're top 25 team, 9-4, but we just haven't seen, like, a signature game except maybe USC, but you're kind of like, USC's not very good. Right. So you kind of feel like, is it fool's gold? I mean, but we shot 12 of 22 from three that game. So it just shows you how much the three-point shot matters. And again, like I said, we don't have to be elite because we're not going to be elite like we did with, you know, like Corey's crew with Joel. And all, remember, all those guys could shoot.
Yeah.
Andrew, you know, like every guy could shoot a three in that team. And it was Jalen, you know, it was like crazy how good a three-point shooting team we were. We got to get the good. We're not even that good. We're at, like, bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Hopefully... we can get it turned around with, you know, the conference games coming up, but I'm just really concerned with once we get later in the season and when the games start to matter more is how much three-point shooting is going to matter or how it'll maybe cost us some games. Now, when we continue, you mentioned the Kentucky game in February. That's our last legitimate game to try to get a quad one. It might be a year, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but it might be a year. We have an edit button, so we can decide later that we might have to win the conference tournament.
I mean, I was thinking the last time was 2016.
Yeah.
That was the year where we felt like you we had to win the WCC.
What crew is that? I forgot what crew is that. Was it like when was that stock? No, was it Stocks year?
Was that David?
David,
like I feel like 2016. That was like
Perk and
like Corey. It was like Corey's freshman year.
Freshman year. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think what crew that was.
I'll get the rest.
But we had to. We had to win. So I, just being objective, and looking at the rest of the schedule and going, all right, signature wins. You know, they always put signature wins. Good losses, bad losses, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think we have a signature win yet.
I don't think we do.
We don't.
Either, yeah.
And so, like, being objective, as we try to be, is this a year where we have to win the NCAA tournament? Because at our, what are we, the net?
We're in net, like, 53.
57.
57, yeah.
So, and there's 64 that get in. It's not exact science, but it's a good, you know, evaluator of where you're going to land and seeding and stuff like that. Now, can we rattle off 15, 16 wins, especially in the WCC? Absolutely.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying? And then we could sit here and be 25-4 going into the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good team. That's an NCAA tournament team.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like, I'm not saying it's, you know, Katie barred the door, oh my God, but it's like if we don't – that Kentucky game is the last game to get a signature win. So that game, the San Diego State game, was kind of like a – hope we win this one tonight, guys. We need something to put on the resume, and obviously it didn't come to fruition for us. So
yeah. I wonder if that's the last time we'll schedule a December home game against non-conference.
Some teams won't come in. They'll just be like, we won't play. We'll play at home, but we ain't going to play when the students are there.
Right.
Or they won't say it out loud. But like, we'll come in December right before, you know, they'll figure out. I mean, we've done that too.
I think the last time we did that must have been against Butler.
No, we did it against – we played San Diego State there.
Oh,
last time. Oh, okay. It was like 2017, and we lost. But they kept their students around an extra day. they had like a I remember seeing it. It was like an actual promotion, like stay around, you know, like right. And they kept them there, and the students stayed, but they were technically on break.
Yeah.
But the counter to that's like probably a lot of in-state and then what's another day like as a student in San Diego
in
no class? Like, yeah, that's a tough sell.
That's
oh my
tough,
God. Yeah, exactly. So it's a lot easier than doing it here, but so it'll be interesting going into conference.
The Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, Hunter Green. Did you know that card control from ICCU lets you turn off your cards with just the tap of a button? Off, on.
Trying to pay our bills.
A lot easier than doing it here, but so it'll be interesting going into conference play. Obviously, we open with Pepperdine at the arena.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody remembers the arena game last night. It was fantastic. Had a good time. Sell out with Kentucky. I'm glad they're playing a game in the arena, but I'm also kind of nervous that it's not going to have as much pop. And then the next year they bring in a bigger opponent.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a,
because it is cool. Like we said, it's cool. We talked about it earlier. Like we want people that don't have an opportunity to go to a game, have a chance to go to a game. And obviously the arena does that. But like Pepperdine's not a very good team to go watch.
Right.
Let's play them.
And I was at the Boise State WSU
game.
And they couldn't sell that the stadium out for that game. Like they had the upper section like blocked out, and that was still like, I mean, WSU fans were a little bit, they get loud for everything, but then they just quiet down really quick. Like it's a weird environment for a conference game because Pepperdine isn't, I mean, I would say like they have two guys that average like 16 points, 17 points a game.
Yeah.
So they're not.
They're always potent offensively
and
they're not great defensively, but like we've had issues with them, especially down there.
Yeah.
You know, every year we like beat them by 12, but if you look at the meat of the game, like 5 minutes to go, it's a 7-point game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like they've played us solid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like with this year's crew, you know, if we get cold and we're playing in a different gym, it could get ugly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, defensively, not rebounding, we're really good this year. So, you know, I need to make sure that I'm saying that part of it. This team, even though we haven't shot the ball really well, we're still going to win a lot of basketball games, and we're going to be in a lot of basketball games. It's just the pressure situations, or, you know, mounting a big comeback like we had against San Diego State in the second half. You need to make a couple threes in a row. It didn't happen, and that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
But yeah, that game will be fun. I think they're doing alumni deal or something, because it's 30 years this year since the first
25 years since the
no, but it's 30 since the first NIT.
Oh, okay.
It was 93-94, and then it's 25 since the Elite Eight or whatever.
Right, okay.
So that's what it, but they're just combining it all, which they should.
I see.
So I think they're going to have an alumni event during that. It'll be fun to see some of the older guys and stuff like that. We had one this summer that was really fun. Good time. But yeah, so that part will be kind of cool. Hopefully they do something. I'm sure they'll do like a ceremony or something before the game or during. But yeah, those NIT guys got to be recognized, because it started kind of like, all right, we can actually win games here. Why not? You know, like, why not us? You know?
Yeah.
And those were the John Riley and all those teams, and Fitz, rest in peace. Fitz was great to me as I was a ball kid when he was coaching, but then later when I became a prospect, he really helped me a lot with just preparing for Division I basketball. And you know, my dad was the same, but then he was a different voice saying the same thing, but sometimes you hear a different voice.
Yeah.
So that they're going to talk about Fitzy and stuff like that, which is good. So yeah, that'll be interesting. But again, it'll be scary playing in the arena just because the shooting woes.
Right.
And playing in a different gym. And it's not the greatest basketball arena. It's just not.
No.
That's why we haven't played very many games there. But when we had the atmosphere last year against Kentucky, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
And March, it's always fun there as well. Like, and that's the other thing is, like, I think we have second round.
I know.
And like,
it's crazy.
We're probably not going to be able to even get a game here, because we're not going to get a one or two seed.
No,
so.
No, it's wild to think that, because the last time that happened was COVID.
Yeah.
And we just won the WCCs, and then we were literally landed. I remember landing the plane, and they canceled it, and then you feel like you're like the zombie apocalypse was coming. You're like stuck in an airport. It's like, oh my God. Like, I saw Chris Haynes, who does TNT, and we ran into each other, and it was like, hey, Matt, you know what I mean?
Right,
but it was just like such a weird time, but it sucked because they would have been a one or two seed that year and would have got it Spokane, and it never happened.
Never
and
then happened.
Come back around again, and it's might not happen. So anyway, I mean, this team's got, you know, an opportunity to improve. Sky's not falling. They are talented enough to make shots. And 9-4 is not the end of the world, because two of those losses, let's just remind people, Purdue's number one or number two, and UConn's number five or number four or number three, whatever the heck they are.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are like, let's just understand that these are two really good teams that we've lost to. Washington is Washington's the one that we're going to look back. It's like, we could have got that one. San Diego State obviously want to win at home, and we just talked about it at length. But they're a good basketball team, too.
Yeah.
And they're a bad physical matchup. Didn't you? I mean, like, when you watched it, you just look at it, you're like, those guys are just like massive. And
they look like men.
Yeah. You're like tight ends. And you're like, this never does. We never do good against some of these type of teams. Like, usually when we play those, if we have the shooting, then we can outrun them and outscore them. But if we don't, then they just, you know, physically push us around. It's not like we got punked, but I'm just talking about like the physicality of the total game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, hopefully we continue to improve, but it's got to start happening. And roster wise, maybe June plays more. I don't know. Did he even play? I think he DMP'd. He got a minute 20.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the first half, wasn't it? Yeah, in the first half, to avoid foul trouble. So he got basically DMP'd. We talked about Luka being hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know if they announced it, but I think he broke his hand.
Oh, really?
I think, well, it was 6 to 8 weeks, hand injury.
Oh, gosh.
So I don't know if it's broke, but 6 to 8 weeks, doesn't matter what it is, it's still 6 to 8 weeks. So that does hurt. Like, and if you're listening, he's like, well, he doesn't play very much, but there was the option for him to play, and I think he was competent enough to steal minutes at the point guard position to give those guys a
yeah,
rest.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the roster now, like a guard coming in is Joe Few.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And yeah. I will say this, like this has happened every year, not every year, but we always come into the WC season like 3 losses, 2 losses, 4 losses, whatever. Yeah. And I feel like WCC like always kind of helps right the ship, gets confidence.
Yeah.
And like, and as you pick off games and win, like our ranking will get up, keep on maybe rising up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the biggest thing is getting that confidence and like yeah. and going into a Kentucky game on like a hot streak and, you know, stealing one down in Lexington. But
yeah, I mean, if we get that game, it'll obviously be a marquee, and then it kind of solidifies, you know, your chances to
yeah.
to make an NCAA tournament. I mean, St. Mary's is good. They're just the early losses, so they're not going to be as high as ranked, even if they're not even top 25, but like net ranking.
Mm-hmm.
San Fran is always good as well. And then LMU's better this year. So mm-hmm. I think we could either go undefeated or be like 14-2 or whatever. Yeah. But it's going to be tougher than usual. But I said it last year, like it's more fun to call these games and watch them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not 30-point blowouts.
Totally.
So that's the counter to it. I'm always like, well, at least the games are interesting because a couple of years it was like, what do we talk about?
Yeah.
When am I 35? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, no,
like
it's
kind
true.
Of boring. It's yeah. like, fuck, I got to call this thing, man. It's like, you know, we're going to win by 40 and it's mm-hmm. not fun to watch. And then to counter that, like those teams didn't take a dip, but it was like, all right, how do we motivate them during the WCC season? Because mm-hmm. they're so good that this is kind of waste, not a waste of our time, but we need to play some tougher games.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. It's a decent first half of the season. Conference is always fun. The travel's fun. You know, and there's the old rivalries and stuff like that. St. Mary's game is always fun. It's fun down there as well. Kind of built one a little bit with LMU last year since they beat us, and then we hammered them at their place mm-hmm. like by 45 or 50.
Oh God, yeah.
It was one of those like bloodbaths in the first half.
Yeah,
I felt bad for them too. I honestly did, because they were so excited. They had fans and it was cool. It's like, yeah, bring this program back. And it was like 22-2 at the first media or something. Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
Yeah,
I think we shot like 90%. It was wild.
Yeah,
and it was just like oh. And everybody started leaving, and it's like, oh, this sucks. You know what I mean? You felt bad. You're like, ah. But so anyway, thanks for listening. Thank you to our sponsors, McGilvery Environmental, Idaho Central Credit Union, and HDG Architecture. Keep listening. We'll see you later.